So, Chris, welcome to the Super Flight Podcast. I was, I think I introduced you as the patron saint of ABPN.
Wow. That's, I think that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
You're welcome.
Or about me, I guess.
Oh, whatever. I'm sure people have said, I'm sure your mother has said nicer things.
Well, no, I'm sure she hasn't, but I think I'm going to have to put that on my business cards.
The patron saint. There you go. Yeah. So introduce yourself to my listeners and tell everybody who you are and how you can be found.
Well, I can be found on the network, just like Joe. I host Almighty Ball and NBA Show. I'm not just the boss man. I'm one of the people. You know, it's a network, so we're all pulling, you know, everyone along. Everyone has a paddle, and they're rowing this collective Almighty Baller Podcast Network boat. So, yeah, if you want to check me out, if you want to check Joe out, or any of the other great podcasts on our network, you can find us at almightyballer.com, blogtalkradio.com/ABPN, and if you want to follow me specifically on Twitter, at almightyballin.
Nice. I feel like there was a I'm not only the owner, I'm also a client joke in there somewhere, but I thought I'd just
I'm no good at the live read stuff, you know? I mean, I'm not as smooth about like the whole corporate thing, yeah. Like, you know. It's just never been my thing. That's why I had to make the networks. It's so other people could make jokes like that for me.
Yeah, my live reads are always pre-recorded. They're live reads, you know.
Yeah, right.
It's like, how did that music start suddenly? I don't know. It's magic. Whenever I start doing a live read, magic happens and like music starts flowing. It's great.
Yeah, no, I might have the same thing where my music fades in, but like, don't tell anyone.
I would never.
Well, actually, we're being recorded, so I guess it's too late for that.
I won't give away your secrets if you don't give away mine.
We're being recorded, though.
Well, there's the joke. All right, anyway. So let's talk about some, here's the topic. Big names, big problems in the NBA. We're going to run down, just so the listeners know, we're going to talk about Melo trades, which I think you have a few really good ones. We're going to talk about LeBron James, because I haven't talked about it yet. And we'll probably end up like talking about Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade a little bit. So,
all right, good.
Let's
those are big problems.
Yeah, they're all big names, big problems. Let's start out with some Carmelo trades. So just before you give me yours and catch me completely off guard and I have to read and react. So I was looking, I'm like, you know, there's a lot of talk about Carmelo getting traded because he just doesn't fit with the team. His timeline and Porzingis' timeline, and Porzingis is the one you want to, you know, build around at this point. They're not on the same timeline. So you want to get rid of Carmelo, basically, I think. And there's a lot of rumors about him going to the Clippers, but like people are throwing trade rumors out there for every team. If you go on Fox Sports, which, you know, I was just Googling Carmelo Anthony trades. Fox Sports was the first one that came up, and they have a trade for every team. I could tell you some of the crazy ones, but give me some of yours. I want to hear what you got.
Okay, so these are I tweeted something to this extent. You know that I solved the issue, right? And I'm sure a lot of people listening, right? Did you see that? I think you retweeted it. I said,
yeah,
I solved.
You're going to be talking about
I
it.
I solved the whole Carmelo it. Thing. Like these are personally curated trades. And the big problem with Carmelo is that, you know, he has this weird value that fluctuates negatively and positively. I think he's a negative asset to the Knicks. Mm-hmm. He'd be a negative asset to the 76ers too.
Oh God, yeah.
But I think he'd be a really great asset to the Clippers, a really big positive asset. But I mean, I just don't think that, you know, Doc Rivers' son is going to get it done. Although, make right. no mistakes, Doc Rivers would trade and or blood ritual style sacrifice his son to get Carmelo on the Clippers.
It's true.
So,
yeah, I don't even think he knows his son's name, to be honest with you. I'm pretty sure they have absolutely no relationship at all. So I don't think it's a big deal for him, but go on.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine. Do you think he uses emojis? Do you think like Doc Rivers would just sort of text to Austin like just a boot and Austin would know what it is?
I could only hope. I don't think Doc is that clever though, but yeah, go on.
or like a dad joke, you know. The trades that I put together were three team trades never before heard or seen except by me. All right, so This goes between the Knicks, the Raptors, and the Wizards. Okay. All right. So one thing that Melo said is that he would accept a trade to a contender.
Right.
So I'm going to presume that he would be cool going to the Raptors.
You would think.
So the Knicks end up with Jan Mahimi, Markieff Morris, Jared Solinger, and the Clippers pick from the Raptors for this next year. So the Raptors have a Clippers first round pick, right?
Right.
Okay, so the Knicks end up with the first round pick, Jan Mahimi, Markieff Morris, and Jared Solinger, right? The Raptors get Carmelo Anthony and Marcin Gortat. And the Wizards get Valanciunas and Terrence Ross.
So let me think about this. Everybody wins except for the Knicks. I don't think that's enough for
They get a first round pick.
Right, but whose first round pick is it?
I think the Clippers.
Yeah. So it's going to be not a great pick. Like, you want something back a little bit more for Melo than that, right? I mean, well, Markieff Morris, sure, but still.
Yeah. I mean, I think you get Markieff Morris. I think Jan Mahimi eventually could be something serious.
isn't he like 28 by now or something?
Maybe you could get the Wizards to throw in a pick too. That's a real possibility because, I mean, that's the thing. The Knicks want picks they should want picks. I mean, I hope they want picks,
right.
Or young pieces that they can put next to Porzingis. And I think that, you know, whether you want to go with Porzingis as the center, Markieff Morris as a power forward next to him makes some sense. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to go with Porzingis as a power forward, Jan Mahimi's injured, which is not such a bad thing because you want them to be really, really bad this year so that they can get those tasty, delicious guards at the top of this year's draft, right?
Yeah.
And then I think the Raptors, they end up with Melo and Gortat, and I think that works because Valanciunas, DeMar DeRozan, and Carmelo, I think that's too much offense and not enough defense. And I think Gortat, you now have a guy who is like a team defender and just like a pick and roll center, someone who isn't like a post up guy like Valanciunas is, right?
Right. I mean, I kind of like that for the Raptors. The only thing about it is that Melo is a ball stopper. And I think that if you throw any extra pieces into the Raptors offense right now, it's going to just totally screw them up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. I understand. I just think that I think that it works if you use Melo sort of as a power forward offensively. I mean, I think his concern is being a power forward defensively, right?
Yeah.
But you could play him alongside Patrick Patterson. So Patrick Patterson covers power forwards, and then Melo, you basically put him in face up situations against power forwards.
It could work. I don't know. For me, the non-starter for any trade is that Melo's going to be ball dominant. The only team I could actually see him like on and contributing would be somebody like the Clippers, where they have so many guys that are they're all stars. They're all
right.
They're not
right.
All stars. They are all stars, and they all demand.
They're all stars.
Yeah, and they all demand like a certain amount of ball dominance, right? So, and I think he would be playing with those guys. I think he would have to accept a lesser role, and I think he would go in knowing that, and I think he would work with that. But I think if you put him on Toronto, I feel like he's still going to be Melo, just clogging up that system a little bit. You know what I mean?
Well, so do you think that – I think that DeMar DeRozan has the reputation that Carmelo would defer to him. Mm-hmm. And I think that I think that Lowry playing off ball is like what works.
Yeah, I think you could put Lowry next to anybody. He's an amazing guard.
Right. So I just feel like, you know, your Carmelo as a power forward is a bigger threat than Valanciunas, who still manages to get like 15 points a game, you know, sort of in like post-up situations. And I mean, his problem is that he's not the best rim roller. So that's why you have Gortat, right? So basically, Carmelo, you have a more effective interior plan as far as scoring, right? If you want to work through the post. So I think here, you know, I think DeMar DeRozan does warrant that level of, I think that people think that he's really, really good. You know, he's starting in the All-Star game for the East, right? And I think most people who think about basketball, know that Lowry's better, but DeMar DeRozan scores a ton of points, right? Yeah. I mean, but it, sort of like, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It's really hard with Skype. You know, you have to like stop talking when the other person's talking to let them hear. but I was going to say, but the only thing is, don't you think that Melo and DeMar DeRozan are a little bit the same player? Like they have sort of the same mid-range game, and it's sort of, I don't know how you would work them together seamlessly.
I think that this is probably a great baseline to establish. If Melo goes to a different team and plays the way that he has played, like sort of from a system point of view on the Knicks, no matter where he goes, he's going to be a negative asset.
Yeah.
Because like it's inefficient volume scoring. Right. And, there's maybe the Orlando Magic could use someone to just chuck up shots.
Magic could use something. Yeah.
but he's not going to go to Orlando. I think, you know, as much as he likes the Ninja Turtles, I don't think he likes it enough to go, do the whole Disney thing. So I think that what you have to do, what you have to be betting on, right? There's a couple of calculations. The first one, right, is that, okay, my team isn't good enough to beat the Cavs or the Warriors this year, but I have a limited window. And I think that applies to the Raptors, right?
Yeah.
So they need to make a move. They just don't know what it is. So you have to be willing to gamble on something. And what you're gambling on is that you're going to be able to take his skill set, shave off some of the fat, and utilize the best parts and then sandpaper over the bad parts, right? Yeah. So that would be the idea with the Clippers thing. I mean, him as the small forward on the Clippers, that's the perfect situation. I just don't know how to get him there.
Yeah.
Because I think you're right. Like Olympic Melo passes the ball, moves the ball, fits into a system. But he's for whatever reason, never been in that situation in the NBA. What you have to be hoping is that he could, if he wanted to and was in that situation.
Right. And I mean, some of that falls on him because he forced his way out of Denver when they, you know, they probably could have put pieces around him ultimately, but he forced his way into New York where James Dolan is not a good owner. And you know, that team has never been, well, they haven't been good in a long, long time. So part of it, I think, falls on Melo. Part of it falls on Dolan, and part of it falls on, you know, the Zen master, but whatever. But here's my question though, is do you think that like putting him on the Raptors actually is that piece that gets them over the hump, gets them past the Cavs? I don't even know that like that really helps that much. I mean, I don't dislike your trade. I think it would be fun. I'd love to shake things up in the NBA just for the heck of it, you know? But
yeah, I think that Dwayne Casey's defense can hide people. I think there's certain types of defenses that can do that well. And, you know, I mean, they've had a small forward, like different people. They've had, you know, a hobbled DeMar Carroll starting at small forward, Terrence Ross, who defensively doesn't pay attention. Mm-hmm. You basically just need Lowry, rim protector, and that's basically what you're going to like build around for the most part. And then Patrick Patterson, honestly. He's like a big underrated part of all of the Raptors' best schemes. So I think that, you know, they have this like this tiered system of help that, yeah, I mean, you stash DeMar DeRozan on someone and you stash Carmelo on someone. And, you know, basically you'd put Carmelo, say if you were playing the Cavs, you'd put DeMar DeRozan on like J.R. Smith and then Carmelo on Tristan Thompson or something like that. Right. And then just have all of your biggest threats be covered by good defenders.
Yeah. Although I think in that scenario, Tristan Thompson becomes a big threat.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I mean, Melo's a bully, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, we've seen it a few years ago, like when he first got to New York. He did defend. It's in him. Like, and he can share the ball. Like, the Olympic Melo, as you mentioned, he can share the ball. I don't know. Maybe it would work. Maybe Toronto would be the place to put him.
Well, that's sort of option. That's behind door number one.
What else you got?
Okay, I think I like this one a little bit more. So this is Knicks, Spurs, Grizzlies.
Okay.
Right? Okay. And so the Spurs get Melo and then Green. I think it's Jordan Green or Jamal Green. It's the guy who's starting right now at power forward for the Grizzlies. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I actually don't know.
he's basically like a stretchy four, really good mid-range shooter, decent three-point shooter, really good rebounder. So he's a young guy. He's such a Spurs guy. He's so Spurs. And then Melo ends up on the Spurs. And then the Grizzlies get Pau Gasol and Joel Anthony. So the Grizzlies get to start the two Gasol brothers. Jamichael Green,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. And he's the guy who's been starting at power forward so that there's not as many spacing problems. And then Zach Randolph has been coming off the bench.
Okay.
And sort of mucking stuff up, right? So you would get Jamichael Green, and I just think that he's a real Spurs type of guy, mm-hmm. you know? And so Jamichael Green ends up on the Spurs with Carmelo. And Carmelo, you think that he works – well, it would be so LaMarcus Aldridge at center and then Melo Kawhi sort of interchangeably at the two power forwards, Danny Green at the shooting guard, and then whoever ends up at point guard. So I think that that really works for the Spurs. The Spurs give up Pau Gasol to the Grizzlies and then also Joel Anthony just as sort of like a throw-in, right? Mm-hmm. And then the Spurs give their pick to the Knicks, and the Knicks get Chandler Parsons from the Grizzlies, right? Who, if he heals up, he's more in the ballpark of what Porzingis' timeline would be.
Right.
And then Dwayne Dedmon, who's been great for the Spurs, and he's exactly on Porzingis' timeline.
That's true. Well, I think Dedmon's like actually 27 or 28, but yeah, He's,
I think Dwayne Dedmon's like 24.
Are you sure? I don't know. He played for the Sixers. He was on the Sixers when the first year of Sam Hinkie, I think, or second year of Sam Hinkie.
Oh yeah, he's 27.
Yeah, I right. thought he was younger. No, I know. Everybody thinks he's younger because nobody realized that he played for the Sixers when they were like, you know, 2 years ago.
Well, then maybe we should put Jamichael Green. Jamichael Green should go to the Knicks then in this trade.
All right,
because Jamichael Green is younger.
Because Jamichael Green, that's it. So. Yeah. So what do the Knicks get in this then? Jamichael Green, they get the Spurs pick.
Yeah, Jamichael Green, Spurs pick, and Chandler Parsons.
Oh, actually, that's not that bad. I like that they
get Chandler Parsons. He's so New York.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I could see him fitting in New York well. Actually, that's not that bad.
And the Grizzlies unload Chandler Parsons, right?
Right.
And they get Pau Gasol. So you have the two Gasol brothers.
That would be amazing. Who wouldn't want to see that?
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. It's like Spanish, you know, revival, right?
Yeah.
And then the Spurs. So I think the Knicks are happy and the Grizzlies are happy. For what it's worth, Hollinger's analysis says that this is plus three wins for the Grizzlies. So maybe that has something to do with the fact that Chandler Parsons has just been bad.
Yeah, maybe. Could be.
The San Antonio Spurs get Melo, and I guess they hold on to Dedmon because Jamichael Green is going to the Knicks. So basically, Spurs get Melo.
Which I like the trade for the Knicks in this case. Don't like it for the Spurs. I don't know what they're going to do with Melo. I mean, I guess, you know what, if anybody could turn Melo into a ball-sharing, really effective, efficient shooter, it would be Pop. So,
well, hey, I got a question for you, Joe.
Yeah.
So who's been the Olympic coach for the last few years? I'm trying to remember. It was Coach K, and then there's another guy.
Pop?
Greg Popovich. that's his name, right? Yeah,
no, he only starts this year, doesn't he? I think Coach K was up until this year.
Yeah, it's been coach, assistant coach.
Okay. Well, there you go. Then there you're right. You're right. All right. Shut me down.
So, and you know, the real reason, this goes further, and this is why I said that the rabbit hole has only just begun. All right.
Great.
Regardless of this trade, what I've sort of been crossing my fingers for is that Chris Paul signs with the Spurs over the summer, because Tony Parker and Ginobili are going to be off the books.
Yeah.
Now you have Pau Gasol off the books. And even taking in this Carmelo Anthony contract, you're still going to have those two expiring contracts. You're still going to have room to sign Chris Paul, right? Now you've got Chris Paul, Danny Green, who's like an elite 3-and-D guy, mm-hmm. Kawhi, Carmelo, and LaMarcus Aldridge.
This just begs the question, how much time a day do you spend thinking about this stuff?
all
day, right?
This is my job.
That's true. This is your job.
This is the better trade, I think, honestly.
Yeah, I actually like
really this move for for everyone, because the Knicks, you know, in a way, in sort of like the, hey, it's New York, you know, like, we're the Knicks, we're flashy. Chandler Parsons is just as mellow as mellow, except he's little bit cooler, you know,
kind of, yeah.
He doesn't wear dumb hats. So, and then you get Dwayne Dedman, who's everything that Joakim was supposed to be. You get some, like, some protection for Kristaps while he develops, you know, so you have someone else taking the hard hits. So the Knicks are happy. I think the Spurs are happy. And then the Grizzlies, they get the Gasol brothers.
Let's do it. Sign me up. This is it. Let's go.
I like this a lot.
Send it to the league. See if they'll approve it.
I'm going to tweet it.
Do it. Tweet it out. You know what? We don't even have to do any more mellow trades. This one was good. Yeah. This is a good one. Let's move on. Because otherwise we're going to be here all night.
that worked for me.
That's fair. I actually have to work tomorrow, so.
Yeah. No,
just let's talk about LeBron James. Let's talk about what's going on in his head right now. So the Cavs, I think they had lost three in a row. They were not looking hot. I mean, but listen, disclaimer, they do this every year. They get to this point in the season, midway through the season, I think they just lose interest. Or LeBron's just like, whatever. We'll turn it on when we need to. And they lost, and he came out and blasted everyone on his team, right?
Sort of by proxy blasted everyone on the team, but mostly blasted, I think, management.
Oh, that's right. You're right. He didn't blast everyone on the team. Sorry, that's my bad. Let me cut that out. I just got your tweet.
In a sense, that's true, because what he said is, you know, the team as currently constructed isn't good enough to beat the Warriors. So I think part of the reason why it is a controversy is because it's like, you know, all of his teammates are like, well, you know, we're not good enough, LeBron.
Come on.
It's your old pal, Caleb.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Like, he does sort of have a point. I mean, well, he blasted the GM for not spending the money, which was wrong because they've spent so much money putting this roster together. They're way over the tax, and he's spent money every time LeBron said go. So you can't really blame him for that. And they were saying, you know, just wait a minute, see who gets cut at the trade deadline, and like maybe we'll pick somebody up. I understand LeBron's situation because he's playing more minutes than anybody else in the league right now. And he's played more games than anyone else in the league in the last 6-7 seasons. I think he's played an entire season more than the next guy in the last 6 seasons. That's a lot of minutes. And he's leading the league again. I can understand him being upset. I don't know about calling out the front office and your teammates, but what do you think?
Well, so I'm going to read some select pieces of an open letter to the Cavaliers fans from Dan Gilbert, the owner of the Cavaliers.
Is this when he
after
left?
After LeBron left.
Yeah. this is going to be
just
hot.
So everyone knows, I am reading this, and it is in Comic Sans. So I'm just going to pick out. This was announced with the several-day narcissistic self-promotional buildup, culminating in a national TV special of his decision, unlike anything we've ever quote-unquote witnessed, because, you know, we are witnesses, in the history of sports. Good news is that the ownership team and the rest of the hardworking, loyal, and driven staff over here at your hometown Cavaliers have not betrayed you, nor ever will betray you. You simply don't deserve this kind of cowardly betrayal, okay? I personally guarantee that the Cleveland Cavaliers will win an NBA championship before the self-titled former king wins one.
I was hoping you're going to put that part in there. It's like, don't
forget
about
the shocking act of disloyalty from our homegrown chosen one. Okay. Anyways, you should look it up. Dan Gilbert letter, Comic Sans. It'll show up. Dan Gilbert owes. Yes, they're in the tax, but they can go further into the tax. And Dan Gilbert is lucky that LeBron had the good grace to come back to Cleveland and save his ass from like the most embarrassing, you know, like it's in Comic Sans. Even if it was in like a real font, it's like, who are you? You know, the best Cavs team, man. Okay. The best Cavs team, the 67 win Cavs team. It was Daniel Booby Gibson, Delonte West, LeBron, a 34-year-old Ben Wallace and a 33-year-old Zydrunas Ilgauskas. And LeBron took that to 67 wins. They, ownership was cheap, and that's why he left, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, just, you know, cough it up. Part of the deal, Dan, is that, like, you are going to pay every cent that you didn't pay when you were wasting the first 10 years of LeBron's career. So I think that LeBron should be shaking him over like a wishing well or something, holding him by the ankles and just getting every spare piece of change out of his pockets.
I mean, he's not hurting for money. He's fine in that department. Yeah. I think it's fine. I mean, like, yeah, that was a horrible letter.
It was.
I mean, it's so much fun to read. It was. I feel bad, you know, in just kind of like a jerk, kind of like I'm laughing at your pain way. It was so much fun to read, you know. But I think it's fair. I think that's fair. The thing for me is, like, do you really need to call out everybody in the media? And I get what he's doing. And LeBron is a little bit of a drama queen when it comes to, like, every time of the year this year. I mean, every time of the year. Right around now, he's like blasting somebody and saying, we need to get better. And like, the coach was fired last year. But go ahead.
Well, I just I think that the problem is it's not that he's a drama queen. It's that no one takes this stuff as seriously as he takes it. Mm. And like, you know, he sort of everything he does is being actively written into the history books of the NBA, right? Right. I mean, we're waiting to see what happens over the course of the next few years. We'll decide whether he's the best NBA basketball player ever, or history remembers him as such, mm-hmm. or if he's the second best, right? Or the third best, or whatever the case may be, right? So, I mean, he takes this stuff extremely seriously. And if TJ McConnell is the difference between a championship or not a championship, he takes that super duper seriously. So, I mean, to a certain extent, like, I understand if he honestly believes that they need a distributor for them to get past the Warriors, then he knows more about basketball than I do.
Well, for starters, he's not wrong. They need a distributor to get past the Warriors. if for nothing else than to take some minutes off of him during this regular season, they need a distributor. They need somebody else. Yeah. You can't have TJ. TJ is my point guard. You cannot have him.
I was going to say, like, we've seen how much, you know, TJ McConnell can bring to a team that has, you know, one of the best talents in NBA history, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he brought so much to a team with Joel Embiid, who I think is basically LeBron James. I mean, imagine if, like, he was on a team with the actual LeBron James, right?
Let's not go there. I come on, my head's gonna explode. you know what? Embiid will start. Maybe he'll start campaigning for LeBron to come to Philly. That would be awesome.
you know, I think part of this too that's been not paid enough attention to, right? Like, the year before last year, they were in the finals and Kevin Love was out and Kyrie was out, and they were still, and by they I mean, you know, the decimated Cavaliers plus LeBron, mm-hmm. They were like this close. They got all the way to game six and LeBron basically was able to carry them, you know, to a real series. Like, it was touch and go. I mean, Iguodala won the MVP that year because they had no answer for LeBron until he stepped up. So I think that honestly, what LeBron's sort of thinking is, if Kyrie goes down, I'm still going to have Kevin Love and I can do this if I have Matthew Dellavedova. Right.
Right.
Like, I think that, you know, in LeBron's mind, it's like, I need to be ready for anything because, you know, if disaster does strike, I'm still LeBron. I can carry this team past the finish line. And yeah, you can't play Kyle Korver at point guard.
Yeah. I honestly don't even know who their backup point guard is right now. Seriously. Do you?
I think the closest thing is Kay Felder.
All right.
You know,
that's who they replaced Dellavedova with, right? Kay Felder. Isn't he a rookie?
Right. He's a 5'7" rookie.
Oh, yeah. That's not going to get it done.
Yeah. and they have this guy, Jordan McRae.
Oh, I know Jordan McRae. Drafted by the Sixers. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. You know what I think is interesting is Mario Chalmers. What's he up to?
Yeah. Isn't he injured? Isn't he like working back from an injury, though? Because people are throwing Chalmers around, and I think he's just not quite ready to come back yet.
I think he like tore his ACL, I think it was more than a year ago, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like, I think LeBron, you know, wants every stone like to be overturned, like in the hunt of perfection. I think that, you know, it's like, you know, for example, right, Richard Jefferson was just sort of like a throw-in until the finals when he was not a throw-in.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And I think that he's right in a sense that this Cavs team as currently constructed just is not going to be able to deal with the buzzsaw Warriors because they just aren't flexible enough to find that weakness and exploit it. It's like, you know, I think he wants to be able to do as many different things to deal with the Warriors as possible because, like, just talent-wise, it's not, like, you're not going to be able to beat them that way.
Right, and when he came out and said that we're top-heavy as boop, you know, I just beeped myself that answer.
Well, said good job, thanks. Yeah. The network appreciates it.
Yeah, you're welcome, network. It's, you know, he's not wrong. They're top-heavy. They're really top. It's him and Kyrie and Kevin Love and maybe a little bit of Tristan Thompson, but that's it, man. Like, when they go to the bench, what do you got? You know, they cannot compete with the Warriors. And I understand that. I understand him being frustrated. I just wonder about, like, you know, I just wonder about him blasting everybody in the media. Like, could you maybe have done it a little bit, you know, quieter with, you know, gone to the front office and said, hey, offices and said, hey, you know, like, can we get somebody to help me out? I'm playing the most minutes in the league right now. I'm tired.
Are you like a LeBron Illuminati type of guy? Like,
in what way?
Sometimes I think that he's doing everything like he's the puppet master. Like, he knows exactly what he's doing. Yeah. And like, I don't firmly believe in LeBron Illuminati status. He said, I think he tweeted like that he was like the Da Vinci Code. You remember that last year?
No, I don't remember that, but that's good.
Yeah, no, it was great. He like said something like, my subtweets are like the Da Vinci Code or something like that. Nice. You know, like, what if he feels like, you know, it's sort of like January, people are getting a little bit lax. Like, what if he feels like what he needs to do is call out everyone on the team? Yeah. He says we're top heavy. Basically, that's saying, I'm good, Kyrie's good, Kevin Love's good. The rest of you are crap. So, like, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, step up.
I mean,
step
I don't know. Game.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely calculated. I'm not a LeBron Illuminati guy. It's not veiled at all. Like, if he was Illuminati, I think he'd have to be a little bit more subversive about it. But yeah, no, I mean, he's definitely doing it on purpose. He's definitely blasting people on purpose and trying to motivate his team and motivate, you know, the guys on the floor. I get that. I just think it's a bad look. Like, we know there's nothing wrong with your team. Like, you're still the best team in the East. You do this every year. You're going to be fine. You're going to the finals. Calm the F down. You know, just like, maybe just nicely say, hey, can you get me some help? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, but I think maybe it's not about his teammates, though. Maybe it's about sending a message to ownership, right? I mean, he finally signed. He was signing those one-year
contracts, right?
And, yeah. And he signed a two-year or three-year thing, a multiple-year contract for the first time. And they've made some – they could have kept Matthew Dellavedova, and they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They've made some cost-cutting things, right? Getting Kyle Korver – they could have gotten Kyle Korver without giving up Michael Dunleavy and a couple of the other things that they gave up. Like, it was also a salary dump maneuver,
right?
Getting Kyle Korver, right? Like, they could have just taken him in and also still had the salary flexibility to work with stuff. I think what it is LeBron knows that Dan Gilbert is sort of feeling the heat of the luxury tax and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried asking nicely before, it didn't work, and he left Miami. I think, you know, maybe it's not about his teammates. Maybe it's LeBron to Dan Gilbert through the media saying, like, hey, man, if I have to leave again, I'm going to be publishing the letter this time, and I'm actually going to use Helvetica or, like, you know, at least Arial. I'm not going to use
Times New Roman.
Sans. Yeah. Yeah, Times New Roman.
That's
yeah,
a solid caps, font right there.
No, all caps is too much.
Yeah.
But, yeah, 14-point Times New Roman. I'm going to explain how you're cheap and you chased me off for the second time, and Cleveland's going to hate you because I came here and I won a championship for Cleveland. What did you do? You chased me off twice.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's a good point. If you're LeBron, man, you have to be a little bit worried after you won the championship and you signed the big deal and, like, you know, they let Dellavedova go. Like, you're like, all right, great. Yeah. So we're going to go through this all over again? You're going to do this to me again? Yeah, I would.
Well, and they have all of these exceptions sitting around. They have like $6 or $7 million in exception, so they could trade, like, you know, if they traded Jordan McRae for they could trade Jordan McRae, who's on like basically a minimum, for someone who was like on a $7 million contract. It just it would hurt Dan Gilbert's wallet a lot. And but like LeBron's like, do it, man. Like, I swear to God, Dan.
Yeah. I will leave you again. I will retire just to get out of here. No. But still, like, he's obviously chasing, you know, Jordan's rings. He talked about chasing the Jordan's ghost right over the summer. So I think it really matters to him. I think you're right that, like, he can't do it by himself. He has gotten teams to the championship by himself,
right?
But
he can't win
it by himself. And I think it's a legitimate complaint. I think my whole idea is just that, like, do you have to do it publicly? But, you know, listen, for us, this makes really entertaining story stuff. Like, we can talk about it. What would we talk about right now if he didn't do this?
We could talk about Chicago.
Oh, yeah. That's a good segue. Let's talk about Chicago. Oh, what were we going to talk about? Oh, yeah, I got one. So Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade. I talked about these guys a couple weeks ago. I'm already sick of talking about Chicago. They're just,
you know,
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say, I haven't really talked about it a lot. This podcast is sort of inspiring me. I need to do a Chicago podcast. It's been a while since I talked to him. Talked about them.
Yeah. There might be somebody in the network that could help you out. Just thinking.
The Debatables.
There you go. Yeah. Anyway, free plug.
But yeah, I mean, with the whole, so did you hear that someone from the Bulls marketing team leaked that the decision to sign Rondo was made on a calculation that the marketing team made that if they signed Rondo, they would sell enough merchandise that they would pay for that contract? Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't hear about the specifics of it, but I just felt like, in general, I thought it was pretty obvious. They're like, oh, they're just going in. I mean, everyone had this take. They're going in trying to make money. They don't care if they're going to win or not. They got Rondo. They got Wade. They still got Butler on the team. It just seemed pretty obvious. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like the decision to sign or not sign Rondo being dependent on whether or not you know what it reminds me of, man? Are do you read much?
Yes.
Okay, so there's this.
Read
there's
what?
This David,
that's there.
David Foster Wallace's last novel. Right?
No, I have not read it. No.
The Pale King, right? And there's a character in it. This is from Fight Club. Yeah, it's from Fight Club.
I can see how you get those confused. Yeah, go ahead.
But it's the Pale King's about the IRS. The character, like Tyler Durden or whatever, is talking about how the decision whether or not to have a recall, right, of a vehicle is basically calculating, like, are we going to save more money by avoiding lawsuits or not? Like, can we allow 50 people to die? Because, like, we would if 50 people die and sue us, then we would not lose so much money from that that it would be worth recalling all of these automobiles, right?
Right. So the recall is more money than it is for 50 people to die and pay for the lawsuits, is what you're saying.
Right. Yeah.
Which is the Bulls. Like, that sums them up succinctly, yes.
There's a calculation that you're making that it's like, okay, you know, if 60 people die, that's okay. Because, like, you know, the lawsuits from that will, you know, cost less than what it would be to recall this car. Right.
Right. Right.
Whereas if 200 people die, then it's not worth it because the lawsuits would hurt more, right? So basically, you know, I think that that's basically what the Bulls did here. And I'm really sorry about that because, like, it's going to be really hard to trim the fat on all of that audio and make it into something.
No, I'm keeping all that. That's all good stuff. I don't know what you're talking about.
But do you get what I'm saying? You know, whether or not the Bulls can play competitive basketball was just like a casualty of the machine, you know?
Exactly.
It is what it is.
And the Bulls fans are the 60 people that are going to die in this automobile accident. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jimmy, you know, maybe, right, it's worth the recall if it looks like Jimmy Butler is going to be the one who dies. Right.
Exactly. So what's the, there's your cost and, what is it? I'm
cost benefit.
Cost benefit. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. And if it maybe would risk you your actual only star, then yeah, you would maybe think about not doing it. I'll cut that part out.
It's okay. I just don't know what's important to Jimmy, you know? Like,
you know,
does he want to win a championship? Because like he probably won't do it on the Bulls, but you know, not everyone has to win a championship. I don't really know.
Right. But a guy his age and his star level, I mean, he's actually what, 26 or 27 now too. He's not young. Jimmy Butler is actually older than most people think he is. But he started late. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, he's not going to last forever either. And if you're him, he seems like a really competitive guy. By the way, he came out and he blasted his teammates. He and Wade both blasted their teammates, you know, saying that like, who cares who takes the last shot? We got to play together. I forget his exact quote. Do you know it offhand?
No, I
it
don't.
Was, it was something really inflammatory. It was hilarious, but I was like, wow, dude, just take it down. But no, they blasted all of his teammates and I think rightfully so. There was, who's Zipser? Was Paul Zipser? Zipser's like a rookie, right? He took the last shot the other night that really had him fire up because he took the shot. He didn't pass the ball around and he missed. And their point Zipser's zipping it around. And, you know, and Dwayne Wade also was saying, I think, you know, there's a little bit of old vet in there when he was saying, you know, he's been there enough times that he can take that shot. He deserves to take that shot. He's done it a million times, right? And, like, if you're a rookie, you shouldn't be taking that shot. I think, you know, probably a little bit of bruised egos, but I don't know. What are your thoughts? If you're Jimmy Butler, are you starting to look for the door?
Well, I don't know. I like that's the problem is I think it's interesting that we started out with Carmelo and we're ending with Jimmy Butler because basically Jimmy Butler right now is a young Melo deciding whether or not he wants to stay in New York.
Whoa. Slow your roll. Jimmy Butler's way better than Melo.
Melo's going to be a Hall of Fame player. Prime Melo was 32 points a game. Eight or nine rebounds, six assists.
And no defense. I'm sorry. Defense matters to me. But anyway, go on. We're not arguing about the two
come
players.
Come on. Okay. Well, you know, if your memory is a little bit hazy about how dominant Melo was, there was for at least 3 or 4 years an actual conversation to be had about who was better, him or LeBron. Cool. And then, like, LeBron took it and ran far away that Melo was just confused.
I do remember the conversation. People were like, he's the best player in the league, and I'm like, he's good.
It was sort of like the Darren Williams Chris Paul thing.
Yeah, exactly like that.
But I think that he is, you know, I think we're gonna figure out what's important to Jimmy Butler in the same way that, you know, when Carmelo decided to force that trade, or when Carmelo decided to re-sign for that contract despite, you know, not being sure about the direction that the Knicks were headed, or when Carmelo decided not to waive his trade clause, you know, or not to sign with the Bulls, right? Like, I think it's hard to predict what Jimmy Butler ultimately wants, but it will be really interesting to see what that is going to be. I hope you're right that he's super competitive and leaves, because maybe that would smoke out Gar Foreman and Paxton, you know?
Yeah, and I think all of the Bulls fan bases is calling for their heads at this point, Gar and Paxton.
Yeah.
And, I don't know necessarily that I hope he leaves. I just hope that they, like, come to the realization that they need to put people around him and not Rajon Rondo. And listen, even though, like, I watched him play the Sixers the other night and they demolished him. Not demolished him, but it wasn't pretty. They won handily in that one. But they're not going to give that to you all the time, and they need something else. Like, If I was Jimmy Butler, I would be getting really frustrated too. You know, the funny thing is, like, I was just talking about how, was it bad for LeBron to come out and blast his team and blast the ownership and blast the, you know, the front office and the media for not having anybody around him to help? And Jimmy Butler goes and does it, and I'm kind of on Jimmy Butler's side. Am I a horrible person?
I mean, you know, I think in both cases I side with the player, because, you know, I'm like a bleeding heart liberal, right? I side with labor on this one, right?
All right.
You know, the more power that's in players' hands, the more that players say, you know what, like, I get that you, like, old white dudes are really rich and you own these teams, but, like, you know, if we don't play, then this whole thing falls apart in the same way that if you don't let us play in your arena, then no one gets to watch us, right?
Right.
So what LeBron has represented, and also his banana boat buddy, Dwayne Wade, is, you know, the like total wresting of control of the destiny of the star player, right? And I'm totally in favor of Jimmy Butler talking to his agent, deciding that, you know, here's what I want. I'm Jimmy Butler. I want to be in Chicago, but I want to be on a winning team. Agent, what do I do? Do some James Bond stuff, like basically present an ultimatum to the Bulls. Say, Gar Foreman does not need to be in charge here, and Paxton needs to leave. And you can either do that, or I can guarantee you that I will not resign. And, like, you know, they can either do that or he can leave. But I'm in favor of him doing that because, you know, I want Jimmy to get what he wants, which is a good team. And if he wants to be in Chicago, then it should be in Chicago. It's good.
Yeah, I'm always in favor. I'm with you. I'm usually in the player's side, too. I'm always in favor of having a really good player on a really good team so we can watch them all the time, you know, and watch them compete for something that's real. Like, you know, like DeMarcus Cousins, he's the best player on that team by far, but you're never going to get him watch him in the playoffs. You're not going to get to see him all year because his team is horrible and that organization is trash. But I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if Jimmy Butler needs to leave, but they definitely need to do something.
Yeah. I guess that's where I'm at with all of this stuff. Like, I am looking back through NBA history and stuff. I think that it's always been good when NBA players have, like, pounded their fists on the table. Right.
Yeah.
You know, there was that moment. I think that, you know, it was like the 1961 or 1962 All-Star game. And, like, Bill Russell and Jerry West basically went to each of the two locker rooms and got all of the players to say, like, we're not going to go out there and play this televised All-Star game unless you give us guaranteed contracts. Or it was the ability to leave teams, right? Free agency, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, you could make the argument at that point, like, well, you know, did you need to be that public about it? Do you need to be that forceful about it? Like, you know, oh, did you need to, like, stop all these poor people from getting to the airport and catching their flight?
I was going to say, you know, we could draw some really important comparisons here. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I did. You know,
yeah.
I mean, like,
somebody has to see it.
Yeah. That's the point. It's like Dan Gilbert, AKA, you know, DG and DT need to understand that, like, you know, it's like, yes, like, I do have to throw a fit. Like, that's the point.
Yeah, I know. You're right. I mean, I think you're right. I think on this one, I'll concede that you're probably right on this. Yeah. I think the players should have more power. They should have this say in what they want to do. I mean, ultimately, if you sign that contract, you know, you have to honor the contract. But if it's going badly and the ownership is clearly inept, like somebody in the Oval Office right now, we should stand up. We should all stand up and we should all protest. All right. Don't get me started. Oh, my God. Anyway,
and I've listened to enough of your podcast that, like, I knew right where to go with the politics to, like, to win you over, man.
Yeah. Thanks. You didn't have to, but I'm trying not to be political. I already did the pre-recording part. And I'm like, I can't talk about politics. I'm going to talk about nostalgia instead. Let's just do that. But
you're good. You could do politics, man. My thinking with your show is that, like, you're good at the whole discursive thing. So, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking maybe I could tie in a metaphor for, I remember you were really upset about, someone having I'm from Texas, right? So when you were upset that you saw someone open carrying, I was just like, Man, I went to UT. Did you see the like hashtag Cox not Glocks thing?
No.
Okay, so like there was this thing where open carry on campus, on UT campus, got passed. So like you could walk around with a rifle, right? And people were doing had this hashtag Cox not Glocks thing where like they would like get like a dildo and put it in the holster and just like walk around campus with like a big cock on there.
That's awesome. Hey, can I leave that part in?
As like the way to protest it. So
can I leave that bit in? I would love to put that on the show. That'd be awesome. I don't know if we can, I don't know if we could say cocks, well, but
no, cocks is good. That's
weird.
Actually, you know, that was important for the New York Knicks podcast because like their abbreviation for Kyle O'Quinn, KOQ, they just call him cock.
All right, that's the best thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Anyway, we should probably wrap it up. But yeah, by the way, I was a little bit upset about it, but I was mostly just shocked about the like the guy just came in and sat down with a gun, like clearly, visibly, like on. I'm like, this is a thing? Like I've been in New York way too long,
and that's what I'm saying. Like I live in Texas. Like it's a thing, man. Like
that's people crazy.
Like I've seen people with rifles, like. Just strapped across their back, like go into Wendy's and order a Frosty.
Oh my God. I'm never coming back to Texas again.
That happens multiple times a month.
That's insane.
Maybe like, yeah. It's interesting stuff.
By the way, I also want to ask you, how's the weather?
It's okay.
Is it warm
in Texas?
Tell me, is it warm? I need to know. I'm freezing my butt off. I hate it. I hate the winter.
Oh, okay. It fluctuates wildly. Right now, it's like t-shirt and shorts weather.
Oh my God, I hate you. I so badly want to be there. I haven't run in like 3 weeks because I'm like freezing my butt off. Anyway, we should probably cut this short. We should cut all this out.
I mean, like, I feel bad. I sort of forced all of this editing on you. If you want me...
Nah, you know what? I'm probably going to leave a lot of this in because it's actually really more interesting than talking about the Bulls right now.
I think you're probably right. Like, I think... see, like, my instinct, right, is to, like, cut all of it because that's, like, my thing, right?
Yeah.
But, like, running the network... And it'd be good if this is in it, right? Running the network, I sort of have to have this understanding that, you know, everyone does their own thing, right? And there's like sort of a niche for everything. So you're probably right. Like I would like get out the scissors and like cut all of this stuff. So it's just pure analysis. But like if that's what happened to every podcast, then like what's the point of having a network?
Yeah, exactly. I think my thing, you know, just speaking about the NBA, I enjoy the NBA as a game. I don't really get that heavily into the stats. I just don't have time. Seriously, I'm gone like 12 hours. Well, no, yeah, but I'm gone like 12 hours a day for work. I have no time to, like, as you saw, I was trying to get this schedule together. I have no time to do this. So for me, I love to talk about the joy of the game for me. And, you know, so leaving this stuff in for me is fine.
Yeah. I mean, like, I you're right, man. You know, and like,
that's right. Never question me.
anyway,
man, well, we should wrap this
if
up.
You've got all this work, right? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, of course. I'm glad it kind of like trailed off at the end and we just got to shoot the bull. Plug your stuff again. Yeah. Let's do that.
All right. So if you want to hear all of our diverse and multifaceted shows with their own stylistic decisions and strengths and weaknesses, you can find all of those podcasts at almightyballer.com and blogtalkradio.com/ABPN. My show, as you probably just heard me talk about, I get into the heavy hitting analytics stuff. I try to be light about it because that's just my way, but it's hard to. But if you're into that, I personally think that no one does better. So, if you're into that, check out Almighty Ball and NBA Show.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Chris. I'm sure we'll do this again at some point. And, you know, if you ever want me to come on and just say hi, let me know.
No. Like, yeah, I definitely need to do that. I honestly, I would have already if, like, I wasn't, like, I sent you that email. Well, actually, are we done with the show?
Let me stop it. I'll stop it now. Well, there you go, everybody. Sorry for the abrupt ending, but we just needed to chat a little bit. But there you have it, Chris Axman, the almighty baller himself. Thanks again, Chris, for coming on, and I'll see you guys next week. And gals, I'll see you guys and gals next week. All right, bye-bye.